Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to Weekday Wednesday, Tucson, Arizona's number one online radio podcast about all things medical cannabis. Your host, Belle Starr.
And the Cannabis Kid. Our show features news, interviews, and all the latest information about anything and everything medical cannabis related in Tucson, Arizona,
and the world at large. We'd love to hear from you. Please give us a call live at 646-915-8421. You can like us on Facebook, follow us on all social media, or email thctucson@gmail.com.
We would like to thank Tumbleweeds Health Center and Studio C, along with our many sponsors, for hosting our show every week. With the lowest price certifications in town, you'll find hemp products, accessories, and all things related to medical cannabis education.
Visit Tumbleweeds Health Center at 5315 East Broadway Boulevard or online at tumbleweedshealthcenter.com. And remember,
be smart,
be safe,
and educate.
Good morning, Weekday Wednesday listeners.
Weekday Wednesdayers.
July 13th already.
No.
Holy, half of the year is gone.
What are we
going to
do, Belle? What are we going to do?
We're going to smoke a whole lot of weed, what we're going to do.
Yeah.
Laugh track. We were having that discussion the other day. What do you call it? Cannabis, marijuana, weed, cultivation, pot,
paper, medicine,
hash. Medicine. All the terms out there. Whatever it is, you should have the right to have it.
And they have the right to be happy.
Yeah. There's a whole lot about rights going on out there. We've got...
We all know cannabis is an antidepressant.
Anti-inflammatory. Antibacterial.
Antiviral.
Also, now, they're talking about, and this blows me away, cannabis and Alzheimer's.
Yeah.
Dementia.
It actually... is able to break down the proteins of the cripe around the brain.
Yes, and it stops communication.
It's kind of like barnacles or calcium in a hot water heater or the barnacles on a boat.
Yeah.
They just kind of start forming. And it's just some people have this plaque that can build up faster and harder than others.
Yeah.
It's very similar. I don't want to say it's very similar to the plaque on your teeth, but
theoretically, we're going to go with that.
Perfect.
Okay.
Thank you.
Harder.
Thank you, Belle.
Build up cavities happen.
Right.
But when it builds up, it stops communication, so which is why you start
forgetting
things. And you're like, wait a minute. Yeah.
I mentioned heart, the buildup of cholesterol in the heart. If we're not constantly taking care of ourselves as human beings, our bodies tend to get blocked with the stuff we eat, the stuff we breathe, the stuff we drink, and the stuff we smoke.
All of
these things tend to get bound out in the body.
Yeah.
And if you're not taking care of yourself, you're not being able to get these things out of the body.
Mm-hmm.
And sometimes, for a long time, we didn't even know, we knew that there was a buildup of proteins and things like that in the brain that causes Alzheimer's, but we didn't know how to get rid of it.
Right.
And this is things
that
will
help to break that down.
Exactly.
Break up those proteins that are sticking.
I think it's the receptors in the brain. I think it's a deadening of the receptors, that allows these things to take over.
Yeah.
I always wondered, has anyone asked, any of these Alzheimer's patients, has anyone used cannabis in their whole life? And I would want to know, like, 1 to 2 times when I was 18, I've smoked it my whole life.
Or not at all. Right.
Because I want to know, did that them smoking cannabis or using cannabis ever put something into their body or start something up, like their endocannabinoid system, where Alzheimer's wasn't able to set in?
Right.
Where cancer wasn't able to set in?
Right.
Where... you were maybe not susceptible to bacteria viruses.
Right.
So what does what does cannabis do? I mean, we know that it sparks a system in our body that laid dormant for quite a long time in many people.
And
we're talking about autoimmune deficiency, underactive and overactive immune systems. We're talking about arthritis, the buildup in calcium in the bones, the aches and pains that we get as we're getting older. What are we doing as humans that are intaking, you know, the foods we eat, the things we drink, and the things we consume as animals, as humans on this planet? What is it doing to our bodies?
Exactly.
You know, we're conscious. We're conscious beings here.
You know what we really need?
What?
That's a really great question. We need an answer page for that. We need a Craigslist type of a thing for scientists, for geeky scientists, when they have all this research published, because there's a lot of research published.
There is.
Where's that geeky page of cannabis research published? Mm-hmm. And we can just say, if you want to get really deep into your neurons and things like that, well, first of all, you can go to a Patients at a Time conference and really get overwhelmed.
Talk about some
your endocannabinoid system.
Yeah. I was even just trying to convey what we
learned.
The medicinal terminology was used.
Well, you could get credits if you were an MD or an NMD.
Or a nurse, too. Continuing education credits.
Yeah.
Now, this is serious, folks. The National Medicine is now giving out credits for learning about this plant. If that doesn't say anything.
I think naturopathic doctors learn about it in their practice.
Oh, definitely.
I don't think MDs do.
No. They get about, I heard, a very small, I'm not going to quote any hours, but I know it's a very small amount of hours in the natural medicine field, along with nutrition.
Oh, wow. Really?
Yeah.
Wow. So they learn how to cut you up, put you back together, but not...
And give you pills.
Keep you
And give
healed.
You lots of pills. Here, take these. It'll make you feel better.
Yeah.
But you know what? Coming from working with a doctor... She's been my doctor for 10 years. And this Dr. Robin Rash, sorry.
Robin Rash.
Yeah, she is amazing out there. She is a naturopath, doctor, MD, and she's also a trained medical physician.
Oh,
so
wow.
She's coming with both worlds and being able to, and I think, all doctors should be like that.
Oh, yeah, they should study all of it.
It really would help, I think, everybody. I think we would start seeing, you know, increases of people wanting to take the opportunity to make themselves better themselves
naturally with
these things.
Yeah.
Because we all know how
it's cheaper for one thing.
It's a lot cheaper.
We
got to think and think about how many people are getting all these other different. things that you take. Once you take this one medication, then now you have a side effect from this medication.
And
you have to take another medication to take care of that side effect.
Right.
Now, these side effects can range from anywhere from 2 to 3 all the way up to 15 different side effects with one pill.
Yeah.
I mean, I'm confused on why these are the only options.
Yeah.
And we know good and well that they are not.
No, this is true. Here's a study. If you go to tumbleweedshealthcenter.com, you can check out all sorts of information. Or you can come down to 5315 East Broadway Boulevard.
We're in the back.
Come get certified. Come get some questions answered. Most often people just come in and they want to answer some questions. So we've got some awesome doctors and staff down there to do just that.
Just that.
So check this out. If you go to tumbleweedshealthcenter.com, there's news and information and all sorts of good stuff. Here's a study. Cannabis can eliminate the toxic protein from Alzheimer's disease.
What?
Scientists at the Salk Institute Labs in San Diego have come up with the preliminary evidence that tetrahydrocannabinol, THC, and other compounds that cannabis part can eliminate amyloid beta, the toxic protein generally associated with Alzheimer's disease. See, that's the study we need. The Salk Institute officials have warned that the findings published in the journal Aging and
mechanisms of disease June issue. There we go. Mustn't be taken as an indication that cannabis is a cure for Alzheimer's, though they carried out the studies in neurons grown in a lab, and the studies could ultimately offer insight in the part inflammation plays in the disease. The work of Salk Institute may offer indications regarding creating novel therapeutics for the disorder. The study's senior author, David Schubert, said, although other studies have offered evidence that cannabinoids might be neuroprotective against the symptoms of Alzheimer's, we believe our study is the first to demonstrate that the cannabinoids affect both inflammation and amyloid beta accumulation in nerve cells.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, the progressive brain disorder, Alzheimer's disease, results into memory loss and can severely impair the ability of a person to conduct everyday tasks. The National Institute of Health said that it affects over 5 million people in America and is the country's most common cause of dementia and main cause of death. In the coming half century, the incidence of Alzheimer's is likely to become 3 times. For long, it has been known that amyloid beta gets collected on the nerve cells of the aging brain quite prior to the appearance of symptoms of and plaques of Alzheimer's disease, as per the Salk Institute. Amyloid beta is the main part of the plaque deposits, a trait of Alzheimer's, but the exact roles played by amyloid beta and the plaques it makes aren't clear so far. Most images of marijuana in pop culture involves donors getting high and forgetting what they were doing, but what if we could actually prevent memory problems instead of causing them, according to a news report published by Observer?
Very nice.
There you go. The Salk team actually began their study by examining J147, another experimental Alzheimer's drug. As they put that drug through its paces, they discovered that it activated endocannabinoids, receptors that mediate the effects of marijuana on the brain, but also reduce brain inflammation. Given this result, the researchers decided to find out if marijuana itself could help memory. They altered human nerve cells in the lab so they would produce high levels of amyloid, a protein produced in the brain that can build up and form plaque deposits. The accumulation of these deposits over time may hasten the development of Alzheimer's disease. The government doesn't want to fund clinical trials, and drug companies can't make a profit. Until the social structure changes and the laws change, it's going to be difficult to sort this out, said Dr. David Schubert. According to a study published on the topic by Weekly, scientists at the Salk Institute in San Diego have published preliminary evidence that THC and other compounds found in cannabis can remove amyloid beta, the toxic protein most commonly associated with Alzheimer's disease. Alzheimer's disease is a progressive brain disorder that leads to memory loss and can seriously impair a person's ability to carry out daily tasks. Alarmingly, the incidence of Alzheimer's is expected to triple in the next 50 years. So we're going to get on some more research here.
I want to talk about that really quick. Go back down there.
Yeah.
Just really quick. There was a part.
No.
And I want to make sure that I say it right.
Say it. All right. Which part? Okay.
It talked about we now know that, but due to money, greed, and prohibition, we're not going to do it.
They actually said
it will help people, but we are not going to do it because
we're not making enough money, or the company firm.
Sickening to my stomach.
Oh, it
sickening.
Is. Oh, it's totally sickening.
People out there are probably going, well, wake up, you know, Cannabis Kid, it is the way of the world
right now. Cannabis Kid.
Wake up, Cannabis Kid.
The rest of the world needs to wake up to this beautiful plant.
You know, it's more than that. It's more than, we know that it's helping people.
Yeah.
But because there's no money in there for you,
and the greed and corruption and the prohibition,
therefore, we're not going to allow it to help people.
Yeah. No.
Now, just keep on. I want other people out there to say that to themselves.
Mm-hmm.
So you say, wake up, Cannabis Kid. And, you know, like, I see it in a totally different perspective. I see it in that if we didn't have greed, corruption, and the prohibition, why do we not get to have the plant because of these three? Why can we not have these three and have the plant?
Right. Flipping side, you see all the money coming out.
I get it, but there's still going to be money.
Well, and that's what's going to turn these it's sad because even with the legalization efforts, there are a lot of bad initiatives out there that all have to do with money. And the ones that don't make it don't have the money. You know? It's pretty sad. You guys really need to think about what you're voting for if you're going to vote for legalization.
If you are a patient out there.
What we're finding out now, though, what we're hearing is that a lot of people are not voting for anything to legalize in Arizona, because especially if you're a patient that grows or if you're a patient that just wants to have decent rights, you know, these initiatives out there they're not supporting you. They're not supporting cannabis as a plant. They're not supporting the opportunity for other businesses to join and to be a part of this cannabis community. They are there's just a lot of stuff that's wrong with these initiatives out there. You need to read them. These are just opinions of Cannabis Kid and myself. But I don't know. Check. Read before you sign.
The other thing is there's a lot of patients out there that go, yeah, I'm getting my medicine. I'm getting my needs met.
Mm-hmm.
And this works for me. And I don't want it to get any more out of hand. In some different roles, it's been played out that it is getting out of hand. And I don't see it that way. I think that we need to start opening it up because it is doing so much for so many different people. And it has been around. We all know why it's being held back.
Yeah.
So what is the problem?
Well, here's one. Here's one. Here's one reason. So this is from the Washington Post. This says one striking chart. And I'm going to actually put this right now so you all can check this chart out. I'm going to put this on our little blog right here as I read it. And apologize if I mess up the fancy words. All right. Tetrahydrocannabinol is a very big one in the morning when you're just trying to get your green tea going. One striking chart shows why pharma companies are fighting legal marijuana. There's a body of research showing that painkiller abuse and overdose are lower in states with medical marijuana laws. Okay, can we just say that? They make it sound like it's a bad thing. Let's just stop for that. Come on, guys, really? All right. These studies have generally assumed that when medical marijuana...
Scare everybody.
Scaring the pharma companies. Hang on. Let me read this. These studies have generally assumed... Well, okay, so you know what happens when you assume. That in states that when medical marijuana is available, pain patients are increasingly choosing pot over powerful and deadly prescription narcotics. Let's clap again. Time clap, because they are. Death rates went down 25%. But that's always been just an assumption. Now,
that's not just not good enough.
A new study released in the Journal of Health Affairs validates these findings by providing clear evidence of a missing link in the causal chain running from medical marijuana to falling overdoses. Ashley and W. David Bradford, a daughter-father pair of researchers at the University of Georgia, scored the database of all prescription drugs paid for under Medicare Part D from 2010 to 2013. Oh, God.
What?
Oh, God. Yeah, we need a drum roll. I don't even know what's going to happen. They found that in 17 states with medical marijuana law in place by 2013, prescriptions for painkillers and other classes of drugs fell sharply compared with states that did not have a medical marijuana law. The drops were quite significant. In medical marijuana states, the average doctor prescribed 265 fewer doses of antidepressants, 486 fewer doses of seizure medication, 541 fewer anti-nausea doses, and 562 fewer doses of anti-anxiety medication each year.
Mm.
That's crazy. But most strikingly, the typical physician in a medical marijuana state prescribed 1,826 fewer doses of painkillers in a given year.
Mm.
Wow. So here's the chart. So from top to bottom, it goes pain, anxiety, nausea, psychosis, seizures, sleep disorders, depression, spasticity, and glaucoma. And then it shows you in numbers, pain being the highest, how many fewer doses each doctor prescribed in a year. Pain was huge. It's almost, well, it is. It's more than triple that of anxiety, nausea, you know, psychosis, seizures, sleep disorder, depression. That's crazy. So if they prescribe that many fewer doses and it's that big a part of their pie, Heck yeah, they're mad. These conditions are among those for which medical marijuana is most often approved under state law. So, as a sanity check, the Bradfords ran a similar analysis on drug categories that pot typically is not recommended for: blood thinners, antiviral drugs, antibiotics. On those drugs, they found no changes in prescribing patterns after the passage of marijuana laws. This provides strong evidence that the observed shifts in prescribing patterns were, in fact, due to the passage of the medical marijuana laws, they write. In a news release, lead author Ashley Bradford wrote, "The results suggest people are really using marijuana as medicine and not just using it for recreational purposes." One interesting wrinkle in the data is glaucoma, for which there was a small increase in demand for traditional drugs in medical marijuana states. It's routinely listed as an approved condition under medical marijuana law, and studies have shown that marijuana provides some degree of temporary relief for its symptoms. The Bradfords hypothesized that the short durations of glaucoma relief provided by marijuana, roughly an hour or so, may actually stimulate more demand in traditional glaucoma medications. Glaucoma patients may experience some short-term relief from marijuana, which may prompt them to seek other robust treatment options from their doctors. The tanking numbers of painkillers prescriptions in medical marijuana states are likely to cause some concern among pharmaceutical companies. These companies have long been at the forefront of opposition to marijuana reform, funding research by anti-pot academics and funneling dollars to groups such as the Community Anti-Drug Coalition of America that oppose marijuana legalization. Pharmaceutical companies have also lobbied federal agencies directly to prevent the liberalization of marijuana laws. In one case recently uncovered by the Office of Senator Kirsten Gillibrand, the New York, the Department of Health and Human Services recommended that naturally derived THC, the main psychoactive component of marijuana, may be moved from Schedule 1 to Schedule 3 of the Controlled Substances Act, a less restrictive category that would acknowledge the drug's medical use and make it easier to research and prescribe. Several months after HHS submitted its recommendation, at least one drug company that manufactures a synthetic version of THC, which presumably have to compete with any natural derivatives, wrote to the Drug Enforcement Administration to express opposition to rescheduling natural THC, citing the abuse potential in terms of the need to grow and cultivate substantial crops of marijuana in the United States. The DEA ultimately rejected the HHS recommendation without explanation.
Oh, man.
There you have it.
Where do you even start with that?
Oh, it's just money. You have to go anywhere.
I don't?
No, it's a money game. I mean, it's all the until some of these
until
major
all
cannabis players start passing out Rolexes and golf games, They're not gonna want to switch over.
Until all lives matter in the medicinal world.
Really sad. It is all lives matter.
In the medicinal world.
And everyone. All lives matter. My word, what you got there? What's up with Woody? You got denied? Wait, where's our buzzer?
Yeah.
Hang on. Woody got denied. Let's hear it.
In June of 2016, issue of High Times, we enthusiastically reported that actor Woody Harrelson was submitting an application to own and operate one of Hawaii's new medical marijuana dispensaries. With a heavy heart, we now must report that Mr. Harrelson's company, Simply Organic Living, was not among those selected by Hawaiian Department of Health for its dispensary license. Woody was one of the 66 applicants.
Mm-hmm.
Finding first to set up shop in the state. 8 licenses were granted, each one allowing for the operation of 2 retail storefronts. No specific reason was given for the denial of Harrison's application. The health department used a point system to assess each prospective dispensary owner's financial stability as well as their ability to fulfill the state's security requirements and meet patients' needs. However, the score for the various applicants haven't been released. While Harrison wouldn't comment on the selection process, we feel this is a huge mistake. Woody's entire life has been leading up to this one day of owning his own pot dispensary in Hawaii.
Well, their criteria sounds like Woody met all of that. I don't know. Maybe he's not financially sound.
That's weird.
I don't know.
Well, you have to think. Now, Hawaii is huge. I mean, it's a huge market.
Is he Hawaiian?
Well, no. It's a huge...
Maybe that's it. Maybe they want people from Hawaii to start their own companies first.
And that's... I know that Hawaii is getting their people back into doing things. We were just there in March. And a lot of the lands are not being able to be used, and it's so amazing people are fighting for it. I think Facebook guy, I can't remember his name.
Mark
Zuckerberg, thank you.
Marky Mark
Zuckerberg is building in Kauai, and he was building up a wall so people can see in, but it took away from other people's view of the landscape. And you know, I think people who buy up lots of land in these really amazing parts of the world really need to look at that. You know, how much land do you need? Are you going to be trolloping around on all parts of your 2 and 3 acres? Now, what if you put up a couple
acres is fine.
Right.
You're talking about 200 acres. Let's make some hemp fields, right?
Just putting up a barbed wire fence. You know, and then you have your interior house with a wall. So that way, that's someone's house. You can see that over there. But that land cannot be taken away from with the view. I just don't think it's fair. I don't think really rich people can just go over there, pick up a whole plot of land, and take up the scenery of this small island.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like, respect it in a way that why you're there, and you're not even going to be there all the time. You know you're not going to be there all the time. People buy houses all the time, and then they're never at them, and then they ruin the landscape of other people's houses.
Yeah.
I'm just saying.
Yeah.
Someone writing in?
Yeah, we got some bloggers coming in.
Oh,
thank you guys for always blogging and listening and calling in. We love it.
We appreciate
your support all the time.
Make us not feel so alone.
Woody, we wish you the best, and we hope that maybe, where's Woody from? Is he California? Where's Woody from? No, he's from back now. Who knows where he's from? Maybe your state will legalize soon, and you can open a dispensary.
Very, very true. One of our bloggers wrote in.
The new initiative to regulate cannabis like alcohol, you know, I don't know. These things are just, like I said, for any initiative out there, you guys need to do your education. Read it. Just read them. Read the full thing, because people are here. There is a lawsuit brought up about there's someone that's trying to stop the legalization of cannabis in Arizona altogether this November, because when the initiatives go out, when people go out with their little clipboards, they're only required to print 100 words or less of what the initiative is about. Well, in 100 words, you know, you could glorify the heck out of something and leave all sorts of stuff out that a patient isn't aware of, isn't privy to, doesn't know about. But like you said, you've got to get out there and do your research, because if those people are passing around clipboards to sign things, you know, they have access to the actual written law that they're trying to pass. So get a copy of that.
Read it.
We had the MPP versus AVFMR. When that was going on, we had both initiatives down at the health center. You could respectfully make your own choice just after educating yourself. So most people just say, hey, you want to legalize weed? And
Important.
Then they'll sign it. And they don't know what they're signing. They don't know if they've signed it before. People try and get people to, it's bad to sign 2 petitions so it cancels out their other ones. I don't know. It's a sad situation when they don't disclose
people don't know the whole system.
Story. Yeah.
They don't know how the whole system works. You know, people climb in. I think we prey on. We prey on the ignorant and we don't educate, which we should be educating, you know, the ones that don't know everything about it, instead of preying on them and saying, using it to their benefit of, you know, getting their legislation passed. I just think it's not the right way. It's deceit. It's
Well, you know what the right way is.
Puff, 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 puff,
into my house, like, what up? I got some good pot. I'm just pumped up, got some herb from the pot shop. Ice in my fridge, it used to be frosty. My friend's like, damn, that's a stoned ass donkey. Rolling in hella high, looking like it's FIFA time. Dominating all my friends as I eat some chili fries. Draped in a Snuggie with my girl sitting next to me. Probably shouldn't have had a big gulp full of ice tea. But shit, it was 99 cents. I'll be blazing and smoking it. About to go and get some munchies next. Passing up on those Cracker Jacks. Reese's Pieces are where it's at. Gotta get me some soda pop. Cottonmouth has been creeping up. But can't remember where I put my keys. Yeah, that's what's up. I'ma take your grandpa's ride. I'ma take your grandpa's ride. No, for real. Ask your grandpa, can I take a 65? Deville cruising to my local Publix. Nothing better than rolling with two super fly chicks. They have frozen burritos. I bought frozen burritos. I bought some Ben and Jerry's. And then I bought some Cheetos. Hello, hello, my main man Obama. A couple states have just reformed their laws on marijuana. What you gonna do, send the feds there? Hell no, the DEAs would be like, aw, they got volcanoes.
I'm gonna smoke some weed, only got $20 in my pocket. I'm a hunting, looking for a pot shop, this is fucking awesome.
What you know about the science of marijuana? What you know about people suffering from glaucoma? They need it, they need it, it helps them with their condition. If you don't believe me, then just ask some eye physicians. Thank your granddad for voting for that guy, Richard Nixon is the president who made the plant illegal. But science is now showing that it's medicine for people, and the private sector's fighting to keep all of that illegal. Alcohol and tobacco, pharmaceutical prisons. I'll take those four major lobby groups and fight those motherfuckers. They're making money day and night, all those motherfuckers. And bribing Congress out of sight, all those motherfuckers. They'd be like, oh, it's immoral and unhealthy. I'm like, how many people are you making wealth? Anti-marijuana lobbies are making all kinds of profits, and they don't want you to stop it because of all the special interest. I call that getting swindled and pimped shit. I call that getting tricked by the government. That law's hella old, so it's time to update it, regulate it, and then get it under state control. Peep game, look into my political telescope. Think it's gonna stay like this forever? Not hella won't. Not hella won't.
Stop being a hypocrite. You used to smoke weed, fool.
I'm gonna smoke some weed. Only got $20 in my pocket. I'm a hunt, looking for a pot shop. This is fucking awesome. Let's end the war on drugs. It's time to pull the plug. These special interest groups are nothing more than corporate thugs. Let's end the war on weed. The people have agreed. These special interest groups have kept these laws with bribery. I'm gonna smoke some weed.
Only got $20 in my pocket. I'm a hunt, looking for a pot shop. This is fucking awesome.
All right, welcome back to We Say Wednesday. I love that song. It's very true, though.
We were just getting back into some.
We were getting
pretty
way heavy.
Really heavy, some heavy stuff that's, you know, just been happening in our country for
10,000 years.
Well, that's been happening in the world for 10,000 years. Just some of the laws that have been passed. And, you know,
for us,
through
well,
people who are saying, we are higher up, so we get to say what you get to do.
We were at a farmer's market, my friend and I were, and I said, did you know that our government chooses what seeds that our farmers get to grow? So that's why when you go to our farmers market, you don't see anything other than basic fruit and vegetables. The heirlooms and the Landris strains are pretty big these days, just because they're so old, ancient grandmother strains. But they can't veer off and grow bananas and do anything else they want. They get seeds from the government, and that's what they can do. That's it. We can only do a certain thing around here.
A lot of the
very
food that you see in the grocery stores, that's all regulated. All the food that comes in, it's...
But the farmer's market was so lovely.
And not that I don't mind the regulation, because I do need to know the pesticides, but sometimes we don't know the pesticides.
Yeah, or...
And we've been taking in these pesticides.
Or we know that the pesticides are radioactive and our grasshoppers glow in the dark now. So, you know, not saying.
It's happening, folks. It really is.
It's been happening for so long.
I think it's a choice in whether consciousness you really want to wake up and see if it's happening, or just go ahead and constantly live in the life that you're living and
and not see it.
Pretend that it's not happening
and
just keep on going on. I guess, you know, I know there's a saying for that and I can't remember it right now, but turn a blind eye. I don't know.
We don't know. Do we have to know things?
I don't know. I can only do so much in the mind.
Yes.
I'm just saying, take it upon yourself.
Tea.
Don't. Remember LeVar Burton from Reading Rainbow? He said, do not take my word for it. Pick up a book and read it yourself.
There you go.
Don't take my word for it.
Yeah, do it yourself.
Pick up and read yourself. Educate yourself, because that's the only way you're going to get the right and correct information.
And come on down to Tumbleweeds Health Center, 5315 East Broadway Boulevard, Suite 103. You can educate yourself down there. We've got
get yourself educated.
We've got a little library down there with all sorts of education. We've got the latest edition of High Times, which we've been sharing information from. You can buy that. And
if you suffer from one of these medical conditions and have been diagnosed by an Arizona licensed physician, medical cannabis may help relieve your symptoms. Tumbleweeds Health Center is Arizona's premier cannabis certification, health, and education center. Our primary focus is to help the patients of Arizona obtain their medical marijuana card and educate everyone about medical cannabis. With current medical records, approval is a simple process. Contact Tumbleweeds Health Center to see if you qualify for your Arizona medical marijuana card.
Yeah, so you can contact us at 5315 East Broadway Boulevard. You can give us a call, 520-838-4430, if you're anywhere in the great state of Arizona or if you're planning on coming here. We get a lot of outsiders we get a lot of snowbirds, they call them. They come here half the year.
Snowbirds.
And
call them green birds.
They're dust birds, because there ain't nothing but dust out here.
Well, they call and they
want to know if their California certificates are good, if they're... Or else, who else has certificates now? I'm getting into these states. So they just call and find out if they can use their prescriptions and cards from other states and such. And Arizona is a reciprocal state. So if somebody from another state has a card or has a prescription of sorts that's valid and current, which is a challenge, you can use your cannabis here and you can have it here, but you can't go to a dispensary. You have to actually sign up through the program, have an ID of sorts and an address here, and get registered through the AMMA, the Arizona Medical Marijuana Act. But it's nice to know that when you travel here, if you do need to medicate, you can. If you come to visit friends and they know you medicate and they medicate, you guys can share and you're fine because you've got your card from another state. You just can't purchase it. But wink, wink, maybe your friends will get you some.
Wink, wink.
Wink, wink. I'm not saying. Safe Harbor side. Federal prosecutors have dropped their asset forfeiture case against America's largest medical pot shop. Woo-woo! The Oakland Dispensary Harborside Health Center.
Woo.
We tried to clap for that. The U.S. Attorney's Office in Northern California wasted nearly 4 years pursuing the property seizing case, which was initiated by former U.S. attorney and thoroughly wrong person Melinda Hagg in 2012. According to Hagg, the case against Harborside was necessary because selling pot violates federal law. However, medical marijuana is legal in California, and Harborside insists that it has always strictly followed state guidelines. Many believe that Hagg went on after the dispensary because of its success and the high profile of its founder, Steve DeAngelo. Prosecutors didn't disclose their reason for dropping the suit. However, federal guidelines now prohibit the Justice Department from using funds to prevent states from implementing their legal medical pot programs. Harborside attorney Henry Wykowski told reporters that the Fed's decision is a wonderful victory for patients and a wonderful victory for the industry.
Mm-hmm.
Congratulations,
yes.
Mr. Steve.
Thank Very, very awesome.
That's super awesome. That is huge. They dropped it because they're not supposed to be coming after people, especially when they, you know,
We've talked about this already.
Our government says states' rights. They're doing it legally. They're paying their taxes.
Leave people alone.
Let them have the choice to plant. What you
all
got
right.
there, Kansas?
I got 1-800-Flowers. Years legal pot.
Uh-oh.
The retail weed industry is quickly proving to be an economic powerhouse. And as the industry grows, it's forcing existing businesses to deal with the competitive issues that have simply never arisen before. Most recently, 1-800-Flowers CEO Jim McCann voiced concern about legal cannabis affecting his company's bottom line. He told Fox News Network that growers with mass production of greenhouse facilities in California, Colorado, and Oregon could opt to switch from roses to cannabis cultivation, giving that ganja gardeners stand to make significant more money than from their crop. This is also noted that some legal pot states happen to be the best ones for growing flowers. That's a big concern of ours, he said. While this sea changes has yet to impact his business, he acknowledges that many industries growers are on the principle of making a decision on whether to switch to cannabis.
Oh, wow. Boy.
Wow.
I know.
Now, Belle and I were talking about this earlier. It is a pretty picture.
Tulips embedded with buds. It's beautiful.
Mm-hmm. You get that as a bouquet.
Oh,
happy birthday, Mom.
Oh,
happy Mother's Day.
Yes, you should have.
You should have.
Do that every month.
Thank you.
Yeah, thank you.
We were talking about the large warehouses and store complexes that have been left vacant throughout states of the United States.
Recycle, people.
Let's recycle. Let's start looking at the old Kmarts, the old Auto Zones, you know, these different places that have gone out of business, you know, dispensaries. Hey, start looking at the fast food industries as your places. I mean, you've got a drive up. I mean.
Well, on the cover of the latest High Times magazine, which you'll laugh, this is actually for September. We're reading from. You had a beef about that one, I know. But Canada's Monster Pot Factory uses an old Hershey facility. Can you imagine?
That would be incredible.
The happiness.
Well, you know, when I think of a Hershey factory, I almost go automatically just go to Willy Wonka's Chocolate Factory.
I know. You can't help it. Oh my God, he's singing over here. You guys are really thorough. So I gave him an indica just now. Imagine that.
Sour Patch Kiss. That sounds amazing.
All these things that people are coming out with, it's really awesome. Is that
basement
an
floor,
patch?
Folks? Basement floor.
Yeah, if you have an idea,
this
you didn't.
It's a seed company.
Oh, nice. Well, that sounds really nice. So here's an interesting little article. Edibles are on trial in a wrongful death case. Yeah. This says Gaia's Garden. It's karma candy. Orange ginger. Level 7.
That sounds amazing.
That sounds
doesn't
like
it?
A level 7 alert,
just
though.
Just take a little bit.
Oh, no. I eat the whole thing. But, well, yeah. But no, level 7 sounds like.
You're talking about other people.
Well, but my tolerance is a lot higher than
Bell's tolerance is really high.
You start out there with level 1.
You take a nibble off of that.
You just slow yourself down.
Maybe lick it. Just lick it.
Lick it. A wrongful death lawsuit against an edibles manufacturer and a retail pot shop in Colorado has been filed on behalf of three boys whose mother was shot to death by her husband. Oh, yeah, allegedly while he was high from a potent 50-year-old like cannabis candy.
What else was he on?
Hang on. Probably had a fifth of gin. The suit,
more than a bit of gin, I'm sure.
Which appears to be the first of its kind, contends that Gaia's Garden LLC, the makers of Karma Candy Orange Ginger and the Denver-based pot shop that sold it, Nutritional Element Inc., failed to warn the accused killer, Richard Kirk, about the candy's potential side effects.
What were the side effects?
Yeah,
they
like
weren't
to know.
Killing people. I can
no,
guarantee
no,
you that, folks.
There's no killing side effects.
You know. When this,
Prozac, yes. Cannabis,
when
no.
Stories like this get out
Hang
there.
On. April 14, 2014, according to police, Kirk fatally shot his wife, Kristen Kirk, in front of her 7-year-old son, A partially eaten Karma candy containing 100 milligrams of THC was found in the family's home. Kirk, 49, was charged with first-degree murder and has pleaded not guilty by reason of insanity. University of Denver professor Sam Kamen told High Times that the lawsuit's chances of success are slim as the claimants are going to have a hard time showing causation. Kamen also believes that the defendants will point to the precedent of alcohol manufacturers not being held liable for violence committed by individuals when they are drunk. So, yeah, I'd like to know what else the guy was on, because so he took a bite. Who knows how much? We don't know. Maybe 20, 30 milligrams of 100 milligram candy. Maybe he wasn't used to it. anxiety, rapid heart rate, the sweat, you sleep. Maybe you get sick. Never heard of someone killing anyone.
Never.
You sleep a lot. You could get dizzy. Paranoid if you're prone to that. And this is the whole thing. So here's the deal. When people have all these crazy reactions, it's because typically can't stay all or always or never with anything. They're prone to it. And that's what they say. It may exacerbate a condition underlying
already there.
That you already have. So this guy, well, and come on, is this the first time in the life that this guy's gone a little cuckoo?
Yeah. Where's his rap sheet?
Let's see his history. Let's see his medical history. Let's see his rap sheet. Let's see if he's got a
prison history. I want to know where this was actually, where this veered to when this whole situation arose.
So check this out. You'll love this. From Guns to Ganja, in a symbolic turn of events, San Francisco's last gun store is being converted into a medical marijuana dispensary. The former shop, High Bridge Arms, opened in the city's Bernal Heights neighborhood in 1952 and closed to the fall, in the fall of 2015 after the store's owners decided not to comply with new regulations requiring the videotaping of gun transactions and the reporting of ammunition purchases. Now, Sean Killen is taking over the space and opening the High Bridge Dispensary. Killen hopes to cater to lower-income patients who used to be served by the Bernal Heights Cooperative, which he ran until he was evicted by the landlord to make room for a more upscale dispensary. Killen quipped that he found a lot of stray bullets in the shop. Soon it'll just be stray buds on the High Bridge floor, and the only AK-47 will be a sativa-dominant hybrid. All right, congratulations. That's cool. There you go. Guns to Ganja.
Guns to Ganja.
Talk about turning shops into other uses. You have it right there.
You have it, folks.
You have it. Did you read about the $8 million bond hit?
I did not.
I think we've talked about this before, but check it out. It's very interesting.
Right.
You want to read it?
I thought you said we read it.
No. Well, we've talked about it before, but now that everyone's so super curious.
Well,
minutes before the 2016 NFL draft began, a video of Ole Miss defensive lineman Laramie Tunsil appeared on Twitter. The 30-second clip showed Tunsil hitting a bong connected to a gas mask and laughing. It was soon revealed that the expected top five draft pick's Twitter account had been hacked. Unfortunately, by then, the damage was already done. Mm. Experts had predicted that Tunsil would be drafted as high as first overall. However, the leaked video, which was trending during the first round, dropped the college standout to number 13, at which point he was chosen by the Miami Dolphins. This incredibly strange turn of events hit Tunsil's earnings hard. When the video appeared, the Baltimore Ravens, presumably still leery of on-camera scandals even years removed from the Ray Rice incident, decided to pass on Tunsil and select another offensive lineman, Ronnie Stanley. Had they drafted Tunsil at number 6 overall, he stood to make almost $20.5 million over 4 years. Instead, he received contract from the Dolphins for nearly $12.5 million, earning that the gas mask video cost him a little over $8 million. Tunsil confirmed to ESPN that it was in fact he who was shown smoking the gas mask bong in the video. He claimed not to know who was responsible for hacking his account and posting video, but added that he didn't plan on pressing charges. Wow. Well, and apparently the Miami Dolphins know that, you know, that's just a one-time thing and doesn't represent his entire being. And yes, the gas mask is silly. Maybe he was recreating. So what? Who has a glass of wine every night or some gin or some whatever they're doing.
I wonder if it would have been different if he was...
if he had a beer in his hand. What if he had a Coors Light in his hand? What if he's doing a beer bomb?
What if it was a different kind of bomb?
Hey, that's true. What if it was a hookup?
Why do we have to automatically, after we know what cannabis does for football players, after we know we're still shaming people for doing something that makes them feel better?
Yeah.
Still really hard. All right. I just wanted to talk about these coloring books because I see them out there all the time.
And coloring is a big craze other than the Pokemon thing.
Oh, God.
Can we have a cannabis game where you, like, have to find friends with cannabis and smoke with them and then go find another friend with cannabis and smoke with them? That'd be a really good. I really like that game. See ya. All
right, I think a controlled environment might be okay.
Yeah, maybe from bedroom to bedroom, room to room, you know, to go outside and go under a tree and come back in the house.
I don't know yet.
Okay. It's like a scavenger hunt for cannabis. Okay, go for it.
This is called a kick-ass coloring book.
All right.
Relax and float down the stream during a meditative coloring session with your visionary artist, Chris Dreyer. New kick-ass coloring book. This one-of-a-kind product includes 50 pages of tripped-out little drawings to color, complete with a sticker page, including at the end. Grab a few more copies and throw a kick-ass coloring party with your friends. $15 a piece. You get this at positivecreations.net. You know, I've seen Positivecreations.net, yeah. You can also get these really cool ones at Costco right now for really expensive, and they're huge books, and they're just got really detailed.
I got really excited when you said there was a sticker section.
There is. Section towards the end. If you got that little kid inside of you that wants to come out and definitely, or even that adult that really likes to make colorful artwork, this is for sure some detailed stuff that you're going to be coloring.
Oh my goodness, it sure is. Human. Oh.
And I don't know. I would use colored pencils, I think I would use.
Check this out. for that detailed
area.
Sure, that's insane.
We're going to try and get that at
Tumbleweeds Health Center, 5315 East Broadway Boulevard. Come on down and get yourself certified. It's $270 first time. That includes everything. There's discounts galore to be had. You're on food stamps, bam, $75 off. Do you know how to work a computer? Bam, another $35 off. Process it yourself. Bada bing, bada bam.
Bada bing, bada boom.
Get on down there and get certified. Support your local health center. Get educated. Excuse me, we've got the new edible, Baja Edible. Arizona Magazine, we've got the new Dope Magazine, has Whoopi on it. We've got the new High Times Magazine for September already, if you guys are looking ahead. And what does it say? Humidor for your herb? Check this out. Cannabis storage. Put your weed in it. Cannabis storage meets German engineering with the Cannabis Sewer 1. This high-end humidor is designed to keep your pot perfectly preserved with a patented two-way air system guaranteeing optimal storage conditions. A hygrometer monitors the moisture level at a constant 60%. An airtight seal keeps aromas in and impurities out. And the handsome wooden box blocks ultraviolet light, prolonging the flavor and shelf life of your precious buds. Handmade in Germany with sustainably grown walnut or mahogany, the Cannabis Sewer 1 makes a high-grade addition to any true Cannabis Sewer's cannabis collection. Models are available with 1 or 2 gram storage jars. Wow. That's amazing.
I
wish we had an ooh button.
Ooh.
Yeah. That'd be good. Yeah. We should get those at Tumbleweed. That's good.
And, for any cannabis connoisseur,
that's a beautiful box, too. That is. That's gorgeous. I don't know. Mahogany or what else did you get? Which one did you get?
Teak.
No, what did they say? Walnut.
Or mahogany.
Ooh. I wonder what this one is. I think that's probably the mahogany walnut. Would probably be a lot darker. That is
very
beautiful.
Fancy.
It is.
You guys could see it. It's actually very, very
gorgeous. Saw Woody in a wooden box. All right. Can Cali legalize it? California could have made history as the first state to legalize recreational cannabis 6 years ago with Prop 19. Unfortunately, internecine fighting sent it all sideways. and the legalization initiative failed. Now, with the debacle of 2010 in the rearview mirror, voters in the Golden State have an opportunity to redeem themselves as the Adult Use of Marijuana Act has qualified for the November ballot. Woohoo! Wow, is my sound effects pushing off. The AUMA campaign collected over 600,000 signatures, far exceeding the 366,000 they needed. The proposed act would permit adults 21 and over to legally possess an ounce and grow up to six plants for personal use. Under the measure, medical and recreational cannabis sales would be taxed at 15%. The Adult Use of Marijuana Act, which was funded by Napster founder Sean Parker and is supported by California's Lieutenant Governor Gavin Newsom, also seeks to prevent pot monopolies by denying licenses to corporate cannabis companies. All right. I think Willie Nelson has got a hold of those guys. Awesome.
Who got a hold of them?
Willie did it. All right.
Oh,
what
man.
You got there? Oh, man. So, seriously, we're voting this year for a lot of things. Please do your research. Please do your research when you vote for anything this year. It's kind of
crucial out
there.
You should question everything that's put in front of you.
Yeah. Just
so what
research.
Did your mom always tell you?
Oh, believe none of what you read and half of what you see. Yeah. You really got to question it. So let's read some more they can question. Mayors for marijuana. Did you see that? Check that out. A growing number of municipal leaders are pushing for pot law reform. Ted Terry in Clarkston, Georgia. If Mayor Terry has his way, Clarkston will become the first Georgia municipality to decriminalize possession of less than an ounce of pot. In April, Terry told WSB-TV, it's obvious the war on drugs has failed. His proposal would reduce possession to a $5 fine. Sensibly, Mayor Terry wants to shift law enforcement resources to focus on violent crime. That's freaking awesome. A $5 fine if you have more than that. That's fantastic. Mitch Landrieu of New Orleans, Louisiana, said 2010 law here made first-time possession a ticket, but it didn't address the continuing racial disparity in pot busts overall. In March, Mayor Landrieu signed an ordinance decriminalizing possession of up to 14 grams of cannabis in the Crescent City with no more than a $100 fine for repeat offenders. In addition, the law creates a symbolic medical exception. Wow.
Hmm.
Tampa, Florida, Bob Buckhorn. In March, Mayor Buckhorn signed a city council ordinance to decriminalize possession of up to 20 grams. First-timers pay a $75 fine with a max of $450 for repeaters. And the Tampa PD can still make arrests. Mayor Buckhorn supports decrim as a way to stop burdening nonviolent offenders, especially young black men with criminal records. All right. Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania, Bill Peduto. Mayor Peduto gave Steel City donors a Christmas present last December when he signed an ordinance reducing the penalty for possession of up to 30 grams to a civil fine of $25. The law has a unique addition of decriminalizing 8 grams of hashish. A Carnegie Mellon University analysis estimates the decrim will save the city $1 million annually. Still looks like he likes hashish.
Which one is
he's the most uptight looking one. And this is page 22 of the New High Times magazine for reading along. Miguel Angel Mancera of Mexico City. Last December, Mayor Mancera introduced a national initiative in the Mexican Congress to legalize cannabis-based medical treatments. He followed that up in January by publicly stating to El Universal that legalization would be a blow to the violent cartels thriving of the black market in pot. He also pledged pot law reform. Should he be elected president in 2018? Wow, we're going to Mexico. There you have it.
I'm hearing that. You know, that up and coming friends to the South are, you know, getting on board. They see a lot of the things that are happening across the United States and the world.
And the world at large.
The world at large.
Thanks for hanging out with us today, guys. Wow. Thanks for listening to stories, and thanks for blogging in, you awesome bloggers. We love that so much. We love Weezday Wednesday. We love the opportunity to come on air and educate you guys a little bit. Our recent
about an hour.
Come on down to Tumbleweed Health Center, 5315 East Broadway Boulevard, Suite 103. We're in the back. Check us out.
check us out at tumbleweedhealthcenter.com. Thank you, Growers House, for always supporting us. And grow, you guys, if you can't before anything happens in November. Let me go. All right. Thank you so much. Happy to be Stay Wednesday. Remember?
Be smart.
Be safe.
And educate.
Woohoo! Have a happy Wednesday.